Any elaborated form of naturalism will hold that some features of the natural world are primitive, meaning they are not susceptible to further explanation. Matter is taken to be primitive by materialists, but you don't need to take matter as primitive. You don't really get anything out of it, and it happens to cause a bunch of problems if you do. Physics does not require us to take matter as primitive. The laws and equations of physics are just that, laws and equations. They're abstract. They describe something concrete, but they don't tell us what that concrete reality is. They just tell us what that concrete reality will do under certain conditions. We can fill in the abstract structural skeleton that physical science tells us about with any concreta we like. What fleshes out the structure that science tells us about? What is the concrete stuff that's making a universe to describe? We could take this concrete reality to be non-experiential stuff, as physicalists do, or we could take it to be experiential stuff, like Rosselli and panpsychists do. Both approaches can explain the data of science, including the data of neuroscience. They're both forms of monism, so physicalists cannot appeal to the success of the core theory, causal closure, or the dependence of the human mind on the brain as evidence favoring physicalism over Rosselli and panpsychism. There's no spooky interaction or issues with causal closure or overdetermination. If we're monists, all we can really do here is compare theoretical and explanatory virtues of different kinds of monism. But first we have to agree on the evidence that is to be explained. So let me draw attention to one fact about our world that doesn't get enough attention. Consciousness is unobservable, except in your own case. Consider the fact that the experience you're having right now is private. I will never know that you are conscious with the same degree of certainty that I know that I'm conscious. When you look at me, all you can observe are electrochemical brain events. You can't observe my experience, even though I can assure you it's real. So there's this concretely real phenomenon that can't be observed no matter what instruments you have. That's a pretty interesting fact about our world. Assuming monism, there must be this interior to matter, as it were. There's what it looks like from the outside, observable brain activity, and then there's what it looks like from this private interior, first-person subjective experience. It's like there are dual aspects to matter, an internal aspect and an external aspect, and yet we're free to believe there's only one concretely existing stuff here. There's what it's like to be that stuff, and there's what it's like to be that stuff observing some other stuff. I could spend hours pulling on any one of these threads, but now is as good a time as any to address some common misconceptions about panpsychism. Panpsychists take fundamental reality to be experience-involving, but that in no way commits us to thinking that every clumping together of matter is conscious. There are zero panpsychists who think spoons and tables are conscious. Just because we have a word for it doesn't mean panpsychism implies it's a subjective experience. The point is that panpsychism doesn't at all imply that any arbitrary grouping of particles would be a conscious subject. It's either a subject, or it's a group of subjects. A football team isn't conscious, neither is a family or a town. Those things are aggregates of conscious subjects. So it's actually incorrect to say everything is conscious on panpsychism. Though sometimes, being a bit careless, panpsychists will say that everything is conscious. But strictly speaking, this is not true. To my knowledge, no panpsychists actually hold this view. Rather, we should say that panpsychism is the view that experience is fundamental and ubiquitous, or that experiencing is fundamental and ubiquitous, if you're attracted to process metaphysics. Or just that everything is experience-involving. That doesn't mean that rocks have some lesser degree of consciousness. On panpsychism, rocks are not conscious in any way to any degree. It's not an implication of the theory. The only people talking about it are materialists who are eager to misunderstand. Moving along, there are a whole series of misconceptions about panpsychism that can be cleared up by simply defining what we mean by consciousness. You may have noticed that I'm partial to the word experience because it captures what I think is important without much of the baggage of other words. Consciousness is used to denote a lot of things, which panpsychists don't mean. Rationality, intelligence, self-consciousness, free will, etc. What I mean is Nagelian consciousness, the subjective what it is like of experience, sometimes called phenomenal consciousness. Another misconception is that panpsychism is not very simple. One of the weirdest things people say about panpsychism is that it's metaphysically profligate to say that consciousness is everywhere. But I could just as easily and erroneously accuse materialism of being metaphysically profligate for saying matter is everywhere. It just doesn't make any sense. Something is everywhere. We just don't know what it is. Materialism is also less simple than Rosselli and panpsychism because it says there is experiential reality and non-experiential reality, whereas panpsychists say there's only one of those two. We don't actually know non-experiential reality exists. It's a metaphysical inference. It happens to be a metaphysical inference that multiplies entities unnecessarily, while also leaving us with this huge problem of how to explain consciousness in terms of non-consciousness, which can't be done and will require strong emergence. Yet another theoretical expense that I don't have to incur. So not only is materialism not what science is telling us, as many seem to think, it's also not as simple as panpsychism. There's plenty more we could address in this panpsychism FAQ section, but let's move on to the one thing we know can't be an illusion. You are having an experience right now. The only thing you know with absolute certainty is that it is like something to be at this moment. There is experiencing. And I say experiencing there to emphasize that consciousness is a process. It's in flux, never quiescent. So we know the experiential exists. That is our starting point. Do we know the non-experiential exists? Actually, no. It's an inference, and one that's surprisingly hard to justify. And what's your prize if you succeed in justifying it? The hard problem of consciousness. Congratulations. But of course, materialists and property dualists and the like simply postulate non-conscious matter as primitive. They rarely make arguments in support of its existence or explain why they think it should be our theoretical primitive. As I mentioned at the outset, any elaborated form of naturalism will hold that some features of the natural world are primitive. Why not take experience as primitive? The existence of experience is a certainly known natural fact, and experience is concrete. Furthermore, it resists reduction. So why not? Okay, so we know consciousness exists. It's the one concretely real natural phenomenon we know about with certainty. It's a datum to be explained. And we don't know the non-experiential exists. The question is, can we get experiential reality out of non-experiential reality? I don't think so. I think it would require strong emergence, and I also don't think it could happen because I'm persuaded by genetic arguments and vagueness arguments, which we don't have time for now. Russellian panpsychism is not the only form of panpsychism, but it's the one I prefer. It's a form of naturalism. It's a form of monism. It doesn't leave us with the hard problem of consciousness. It also might be able to help us out with certain puzzles of causation, mental causation, of course, but also causation generally. Russellian panpsychism also doesn't stick us with any of the problems of dualism. I repeat, panpsychism is not a form of dualism. It might help to think of Russellian panpsychism as a modified form of idealism, since the only concretely existing stuff is consciousness, or mind stuff, in the words of Arthur Eddington. Russellian panpsychism has all the virtues of physicalism minus the enormous gaping hole at the center of it. In fact, some panpsychists like Galen Strawson think panpsychism and physicalism are compatible. He considers panpsychism to be a version of physicalism, one that takes seriously the fact that you are a part of the physical universe, not on the outside of it peering in. Panpsychism is a naturalistic, monistic, parsimonious, simple, theoretically elegant way of understanding the relationship of consciousness and matter that explains the most while giving up the least. Thank you for listening. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll talk to you next time.